So we are holding on Yud Amud Beis about two-thirds of the way down the wide lines. There's two lines back-to-back that begin Shimon, about 15 lines from the end. We're holding on the second one.
Yud
Amud Beis.
Two lines to the
line. So you have two lines back-to-back in the middle of the wide line that begin Shimon, about 15 lines from the end. We're holding on the second one, Shimon L'Chasmisa. Okay, so we've been discussing, again, we're still on the issue of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon, the question of is the Petach Hamor Mutar B'Hanah before you approach it? And then the related question, would they also, we know that they argue about that, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not Mutar B'Hanah, Rabbi Shimon says it is, and would the same machlokas apply after it's decapitated also, or would Rabbi Shimon agree that it's also B'Hanah? So the last thing we said was, so we had the whole discussion where Rabba had said that yes, and we discussed all that back and forth. Then we said Rabbi Nachman had said in the name of Rabba Bavua, like Rabba, that Rabbi Shimon would agree that after you decapitated a saucer. So we went back and forth on that a little bit. So we don't have a conclusion yet. So far we have Rabba saying that Rabbi Shimon would agree it's also after it's dead. Rabbi Nachman says the same, but not before. Rabbi Nachman says the same thing. Rava, earlier in the Gemara, had disagreed with that and said that not necessarily. You could understand Rabbi Shimon to be saying that it's not also after it's dead.
We did not disprove Rava?
We said we have different opinions about it. We have Rava has his proof from a Braisa. Rabbi Nachman has his proof from a Braisa. Each one, none of these proofs are rock solid, but nevertheless, yeah. So, v'chein omer Rish Lakish. So, Rish Lakish also said, like Rabbi and like Rabbi Nachman, murder Rabbi Shimon la'achar rifa shuwal, so that Rabbi Shimon would agree after the petach hamor is decapitated, if you weren't part of it, that is also b'ana. V'Rabbi Yochanan v'itemer Rabbi Lozo. However, Rabbi Yochanan, which some say, Rabbi Lozo says, adayin hi machlokas. No, the same machlokas that you have between them when the animal is alive, you have the same machlokas after it's dead. So they would hold like Rabbi. Now, this set of Nachman said before that he said that Rav Shimon would agree that after Arifa, after you decapitate it, that it's also Bahana. So before we were saying that, before we were referring that to the Braisa, to the original Braisa where we had where Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are arguing about where it's alive. There are those who learn Ika Damasni Lahad Rav Nachman Aha. Some learn Rav Nachman's statement in connection with a different thing. Namely, in Kedushin, it says, a Makadish from Petra Chamer Enim Kodeshes, that if a person is Makadish, a woman with a Petra Chamer, so it says over there, he's a Mishnah, the Bryce, or whatever, says she's not Makodesh. So the question was, Lema Masnitz in the Lake of Rav Shimon, should we have to say that Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav Shimon? Because according to Rav Shimon, why shouldn't you be able to be Makadish with it? The Pashtus, we're talking about where it's alive, and according to Rav Shimon, when it's alive, it's Motzah B'Hanah. And on that comes Omer Rav Nachman. Omer Rav Bavua, La'acha Arifa Divrei Hakol. And Rav Nachman answers on that no, actually, the Mishnah could go according to Rav Shimon, because it's not talking about while the Petach Hamor is alive, it's talking about after it's dead. And Rav Nachman understands Rav Shimon to be saying that after it's dead, it's also B'Hanah.
Only
after it's dead, not before, right? Right. Okay. Ikadami. Now, you have yet another explanation, you have another version of how that discussion went. That on that Mishnah in Kedushin, where it says that if you're Makadosh with Petach Hamor, Einam Kodeshes, so, Homani, so they asked on that, which Tana does that Mishnah go like? Loi Rabbi Yehuda, Veloi Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't seem to go like Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't seem to go like Rabbi Shimon. E Rabbi Shimon Kikdash Bekulei, because according to Rabbi Shimon, if it goes like Rabbi Shimon, then why shouldn't she be Mekudesh? She should be Mekudesh with the entire value of the Petach Hamor, because Motabana, Rabbi Yehuda, and if according to Rabbi Yehuda, fine, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's also Bahana until you redeem it. But while it's alive, you could redeem it. In other words, before, the first version that we had was we were assuming that we said in order to make the mission work according to everybody, we said it's dead already. And that would imply that Rabbi Shimon agrees that Rabbi Shimon agrees it's also Bahana. Now, though, we're saying... only after it's dead. Now we were saying, now in this version, we would rather assume that a Mekadosh Perpetual Chamor implies even while it's alive. So in that case, Rabbi Shimon shouldn't have a problem with being Mekadosh with it, because Mutabana, Rabbi Yehuda shouldn't have a problem either, because either Rabbi Yehuda Tikdash Bahaf to Beini Beini. Why shouldn't we say that she's Mekadosh with the difference in value between the Perpetual Chamor and the sheep? We said already before, we said yesterday, that the same way as you can be Mekadosh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can be Mekadosh with Ma'aser Sheni, because she knows that Ma'aser Sheni, you can't eat outside Yerushalayim, so either she knows she's going to have to exchange it for cash and bring it to Yerushalayim, so she'll have enough from eating in Yerushalayim, or she'll sell it cheaply to somebody else who'll bring it to, or bring the money to Yerushalayim, whatever, or bring the fruit to Yerushalayim, whatever. So in that case, so by the same logic over here, fine. Rabbi Yehuda says the Petra Chamor itself, you're not allowed to work with, you're not allowed to work it, you're not allowed to shear it, you're not allowed to rent it out or whatever. But even he agrees that conceivably you could have, fine. So you give her the Petra Chamor, she's going to have to redeem it for a sheep, meaning she's losing the value of the sheep, but she's still gaining the value of the Petra Chamor. Why shouldn't that be a valid condition? So the mission doesn't seem to work. We're going to eat it one. And Amar Rav Baravua, Amar Rav, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rav Baravua says in the name of Rav, La'olam Rabbi Yehuda, you could say that the Mishnah is after all going like Rabbi Yehuda. So why can't she be poda with the Petra Chamor, given that she stands to gain the most of the value of it, minus the value of the sheep? The case must be, Ukavon She'ena Shava El Shekel. Suppose that the Petra Chamor itself is only worth a shekel. Not so much less than its last, but equal to its last. Because, and less than it, equal to a sheep. Because a shekel over here actually translates, by the way, as a sela, a shekel, what the Torah calls a shekel, what the Chachamim call a sela, for dinrim. The point is, as we're going to discuss soon, the sheep that you give the Kohen has to be worth at least that amount, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, she's not gaining anything. If she gets a petah chamor that's worth four dinrim, and she has to then take a sheep, which is also worth four dinrim, and exchange it that, then she's not gaining anything. Therefore, In order for it to be kedushin, she has to be gaining something.
So if she doesn't gain,
it can't. Then that's why it's not kedushin. So the Mishnah could work according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Sava like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, when the pasuk says tifdeh, twice the pasuk says that you should redeem the Petra Chamor. Rashi explains because twice it says a petah chamor tifteh v'seh, once in Parshas Boy and once in Parshas Tisisa. A different explanation from the Sifri is because the pasuk says ach podei tifteh, so you have a double expression of redeeming, whatever it is. Anyway, the point is, what do we learn from the two expressions? Number one, tifteh miyad. Number one, redeem it right away. Now, in a couple of blocks, we're going to have a discussion. Does that mean we're going to have a machloek with Amaroyim? Is it that you, lachatchila, can redeem it during 30 days? And therefore, in that case, the Braisa is telling us what you should be doing lachatchila. Or is it lachatchila you should be waiting until after 30 days, like you do with a human bechor? But yeah, but if you redeemed it during 30 days, then it would be okay. And according to that, the Braisa would be saying what happens with the other. Okay. So that's the first tifteh. And the second tifteh, kol shehu, the second tifteh means that you can be poda with anything, even a sheep that's worth a tiny amount. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says, though, no, ain't pidyon, poseh b'shekel, the pidyon can't be less than a shekel, meaning a sela. So therefore, according to him, there's a minimum value for the sheep. Well, therefore, according to him, you could have, and Rabbi Yehuda could agree with that. There might well be. So now again, you give the woman a petah chamor for kedushin. If the petah chamor is itself only worth a sela, then she's not gaining anything. She can't do work with it now because Rabbi Yehuda holds osur b'hana while it's alive. You can't say she's going to be poedet and then she has the difference in value because there is no difference in value. Therefore, that would be why we're saying that she's not mekodesh.
Nothing to do with whether
it's mutter or also b'hana after it's dead, because we're talking about while it's alive. Okay. Fine. Now let's analyze that. So according to that last version then, so Rav Baravua had said his statement in connection with that, but he had pointed out, if you're wondering who that Mishnah in Kedushin is like, you should know it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, provided that he follows the Shita of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, about the minimum amount that the sheep has to be worth. Okay, so now let's analyze that. Omamar, tifteh means tifteh miyad, tifteh kol shehu. So the question is, pshita, doesn't it seem to be obvious that tifter means kosher? Okay, so you have Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda disagrees and says that it's a shekel, but okay, there's a question is according to the Tanakhama, why would we think there's a minimum amount? The answer is itzrich, we still need it. Sakur ad chamina, hoyo ve'itkash lebechor adam, because we have a hekish between bechor adam and tetrachamur, because you have a pasuk that says that's bechor adam best bechor behema atmeh sitzeh. So therefore, you would think, so just like with a Bechor Adam, you have to wait till after 30 days, as we're going to learn in the 8th Perek, and you have to do at least 5 Sloim. So the same thing you would think, the same way you would think a Petachamo, you have to wait till after 30 days, and it has to be 5 Sloim. Kamash Malon, and that is why you have the Sloim. Tifter Niyab, Tifter Kolshu. Okay.
The
Sakadaitach would be that you compare it to Bechor Adam.
And
then the Bechor Adam, you have to wait 30 days and you have to have 5 Sloim. So you would think a Petra Chamor would be the same thing, and therefore you need the word Tifter twice to tell us that. That it could be immediately, or it could be immediately even within 30 days, and you don't need 5 Sloim. According to the Tanakhama, you can have any amount. Okay, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda Omer Ein Pidia Pachos Mi Shekel. So then Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is saying that Pidia is not less than a Shekel, or Selah that is. So the question is, Mamonafsha. Either way, you look at it. Why would he say that you need a Selah? If he holds, after all, there is a hekesh with a human bechor, then it should require 5 sloim like a human bechor. If he loy makish, and if he doesn't hold of that hekesh, shekel manole, then where is he getting? That has to be worth at least a shekel. The answer is lo'olam loy makish. After all, we can say he doesn't make any hekesh, but why does he say that you need to have at least a selah? Omar Rabba, because like this, Omar Kra, because you have a pasuk in connection with Erchin, which is going to be the next mesech that we learn about Hashem, that the pasuk says, v'chol erkecho yir b'shekel ha-kodesh, that any erech that you have should be with the shekel ha-kodesh, which means, kol erchin, sh'ata marich lo yukhutin mi-shekel. Anytime you have an erech, it's not less than a shekel. Meaning like this. We know in parashas... No, not including before. Well, so therefore, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda is learning from that to Petach Hamor. In other words, what you have is like this. The Torah tells us in Parshas Bechukotah, you have the table there of age and gender, how much you have to give for Erchin. If it's a man between 20 and 60, 50 Sloim, and if it's a woman between those ages and 30, and if it's between 5 and 20, then lesser amounts, etc., etc. The minimum you have among those things is 3 Sloim for a girl between 1 and 5 years old, between 30 days and 5 years old. What happens though? So what happens now? You have a situation where a person ends up paying only a selah. That's the minimum amount. So how is that? So therefore, he's learning from that. Rabbanon. So what are the Rabbanon answer to that? Why aren't they learning from that? Because they say Ahu behesig yadsin. Because that's talking about a special case. That's talking about the case. Suppose a person made a neder of an erech, and now it turns out he doesn't have enough money to pay the erech. So the din is we look at a hesig yad. We see how much can he afford. The kohenim go and figure out his net worth. The net worth of his property, and based on that, as long as it's worth, whatever it's worth, even if it's only worth a seller, there's rules what they can and can't take away from him, but whatever. The point is, if what he's able to pay is only a seller, then that's it. He pays only a seller, and then he's potter.
That's very specific and very
shame. That's exactly the point, the Chachamim are saying. That's why. You can't learn from that to say, like, Petra Chamor, right? Okay. Fine.
So he's not paying.
So the Chachamim don't take that into account. Your Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hoda does. Okay. So who is the halacha like? Amar Rav Nachman, halacha k'divrei chachamim. The halacha is like the chachamim, it doesn't matter what the shteh is worth, even if it's only worth a tiny amount. So the question is, the kama.
It has to be in kol.
Doesn't that, no, well, it can be gadol or katan, as the Mishnah says. But so that's the question. The kama, but how much? I mean, is there any minimum value? Can it be worth a couple of cents? Amar Rav Yosef, has a patruza bar danka. So Rav Yosef says, even if it's a very skinny, scrawny seh, and even if it's worth only a danka, which is 1/6 of a dinar, a ma, a patruza means like a scrawny seh. That's just a seh kofush, a very scrawny animal. So even if it's that, and it's only worth a danka, which is a ma, which is 1/6 of a dinar, then that's still good enough.
A danka is a ma.
A danka is the equivalent of a ma, which is 1/6 of a dinar. So 1/24 of a seller. It's a very small amount, but nevertheless, the Chacham say even that's enough. Okay, you have some of the Achronim talk about that it has to be worth at least a pruta. Okay. Amar Rava, afa nanami tenena. So Rava says, yeah, actually we can see. We have a Mishnah The Mishnah had said that you can redeem, we said that, that you can use a big one or a small one. So it doesn't matter the value. Okay, so the question is, pshita, in that case, then, isn't it obvious, if a chachamim are saying kol shehu, it means no matter how little it's worth, the answer is still, ma'od etem kol ha'ilai, you would think maybe you can't go as far down as a patruza, a very scrawny animal, or all the way down to a danka, maybe they have some standards for it. Inami patruza, so that's the thing, kol ha'ilai, maybe it wouldn't go as low as a danka, ma, inami patruza lo, or maybe they would say at least it has to be a normal stand, not a scrawny one, kamash malon, and that's the point that Rabbi Yosef is telling us, that note, they would say even if it's a patruza, even if it's worth only a mall, doesn't matter. Okay. So here's a case.
That's the
law. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah Havalei Petrachamer. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, well, now we're going to discuss that a little more. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah had a Petrachamer, Shadrei Lechamedet of Tyrefin. So he sent it to the Tyrefin. Now, there are two problems with this. Number one is Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah. There were two or three of them in history, but all of them lived long after Rabbi Tyrefin the Tana. But the Rabbi Tyrefin the Tana is a chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, the first Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, is a few generations later. So either the Girsa over here should just be somebody from the Nesiyim, or maybe it's an earlier Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, or maybe it's a later Rabbi Tyrefin. Okay, whatever it is, that's one problem. The other problem is, why is he sending the Petra Chamor to Rabbi Tyrefin? You're supposed to send the sheep to Rabbi Tyrefin. So one explanation is that he sent it to him to figure out how much it's worth. Right. So in that case, Rabbi Tyrefin being a coin. Well, not necessarily, but in this case, he sent it to Rabbi Tyrefin. So he asked, how much do I have to give to the coin for that should be the equivalent of the Petra Chamor? Amalei, so Rabbi Tyrefin tells him, Harei Amru, well, you know, the Chachamim said, Ayin Yocha B'Stela, a generous person will use a sheep that's worth a stela. Ayin Ra B'Shekel, somebody who's stingy will give a sheep that's worth only a shekel, which is half that. Beninis B'Ragya, and an average person will give a Ragya, which the Gemara is going to explain soon. A Ragya is a ragya is three dinarim.
Which is how much?
So you have a shekel is two dinarim, a stela is four. So here we're talking, so an average person will do three.
We're trying to learn Torah over here. We're having
a conversation
somewhere else.
Thank you. Four dinner make a stela.
Four dinar is a stela.
And two shekel make a stela. Two regular shekel make a stela. So therefore, so dinner is half of a shekel, which in turn is half of a sela. So a generous person will do a sela, four dinim. A stingy person will do two dinim, a shekel, and an average person will do a ragya, which is three. So Amar Rava Hilchta Ragya. So Rava says the halacha is that you need a ragya. Vakama slotha zuz. That's what we said. A ragya, a kama, and how much? What is a ragya? Plus a zuzi. A ragya is defined as three zuzim, three dinarim. Why do we call it a ragya? A zuzi is a dinarim. Rogil hacha, but rogil hacha. We call that amount three dinarim, three zuzim. We call it a ragya because rogil hacha, but rogil hacha. It's accustomed over here, and it's accustomed over here. In other words, it's somewhere in between. It's not quite a sala, but it's not quite a shekel either. Different explanation of Elia Bacher gives in his notes to the Aruch. He says the idea is if you were to start out with a balance scale where you had a sela on one side and a shekel on the other, it's not going to balance, obviously, but you take one dinar from one side and put it on the other. He says the word ragya essentially means a balance scale. So it means the amount that you would get by trying to balance a shekel and a sela, meaning the average between them. So therefore, that's called a ragya. Okay, so the question is, Kasha Hilchta Hilchta. So the question is, you have a contradiction. We just said before that the halacha is, Rabbi Yosef said you could use even a sheep that's worth only a danka, one ma, which is a ma is one-sixth of a dinner. And now we're saying, and now Rabbi is saying, the halacha is you have to use something that's worth three dinner. The answer is, like Kasha, Kanba Bodhi Mala, Kanba Osama Asma. One halacha, Rabbi's halacha is talking about if he comes to ask based in how much he should give. So we tell him, give something that's worth at least a ragya, at least three dinner. But kind of body molech. So if he comes to ask, and that's what we tell him, kind of osam asma, as opposed to if he just does it on his own, If he just does it on his own, then even if he does it with something that's worth only a danka, a ma, then b'dieved it's kosher. The Rambam actually seems to have a different girsa over here, because the Rambam learns that the three dinner that we're talking about is actually we're talking about not the value of the sheep that you're giving to the Kohen, but rather the value of the Petra Hamor itself. He learns if the Petra Hamor is worth more than three dinarim, then fine, you have your choice. You can be poyde with a seh of any value, or you can be poyde if you don't have a seh, as I was going to say in a second. You can use anything else that's equal to the value of the animal. But if it's worth less than three dinarim, then you dafka have to be poyde with a seh. That's how the Rambam learned it. So apparently he had a different gear. So the Raivad argues on him. Tosfos, by the way, as a side thing, points out over here, since we're talking about how you actually accomplish the Petra Chamor, so Tosfos mentions over here, when you're doing the redemption is when you make the bracha al pidyon Petra Chamor. You don't do it when you're giving the sheep to the Kohen, because as soon as you designated the sheep and said, I'm using the sheep as a pidyon for this Petra Chamor, right then it becomes the property of the Kohen. So therefore, you don't make a bracha later on, because the mitzvah is not essentially accomplished by giving the sheep to the kohen. The mitzvah is essentially accomplished by the pidyon,
making the bracha.
So therefore, that's when you would make the bracha. You don't make the bracha later on when you're giving it to the kohen, because then it already belongs to the kohen at that point, the sheep.
So as soon as you say
this sheep, I'm designating as if this is the exchange for this petah hamor, that's when you make the bracha. And later, at some later point, you give the sheep to the kohen.
And you do it. Privately,
basically. No, you can do it privately, you can do it publicly. I mean, nowadays, it's such a rare mitzvah that usually when they do it publicly. But okay. All right. If a person has a firstborn donkey, and he doesn't have a sheep available to redeem it with, he can redeem it for a value equal to its actual value. Because he can give the kohen something else that's worth that amount. Question is Laman, according to which opinion? Going back to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Elaim al Rabbi Yehuda, are you saying according to Rabbi Yehuda? Ha'amah hikpida all of Torah b'seh. We said before, now Rabbi Yehuda himself didn't actually say this, but Ula, when he was explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, where Rabbi Yehuda got the idea that, where he got his opinion, that the Petah Hamar is also b'hanah until you put it, so Ula had mentioned that Rabbi Yehuda's svara is that since the Torah insists that you be poyde with a specific item, namely a seh, then therefore we see there's a certain chumrah on it, like Maaseh Sheni in that sense. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, apparently the only thing you can use is a sheep. Elul Rav Shimon. So we would have to say that particular din is according to Rav Shimon. Now, Rav Acha Masnihofi. Now, Rav Acha learned the discussion like that. That Rabbi Yitzchak is telling us in the name of Rosh Lakish that you're able to be poydei or b'shavyot, that would be specifically according to Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it wouldn't work. However, Ravina now had a problem with that. What do you mean to tell me that Rosh Lakish is telling us something that would be only that would be correct only according to Rabbi Shimon? First of all, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha to Rabbi Yehuda. In general, when we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yehuda, and that's how it is over here. Number two, v'sasam lantana to Rabbi Yehuda. Number two, our Sam Mishnah was like Rabbi Yehuda, because how did we get into this whole discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Because we said in our Mishnah, we had a few cases where it's suffix whether you have a bechor or not. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, since the Bechor, the Petach Hamor is Motzah B'Hanah anyway, you don't need to do anything. You're not going to end up giving the sheep to the Kohen, because I'm Motzah B'Chabar L'Varaya. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't even have to designate a sheep for the purpose. Only according to Rabbi Yehuda do you, because otherwise it's also B'Hanah. So our Mishnah just mentioned that you have to designate a sheep for that, and then redeem the Petach Hamor with it, just like then you're allowed to keep the sheep. So we see we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Sof from Lantana, the Tana gave us a Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. But ask Amr Halacha to Rabbi Shimon. You, Rav Acha, want to tell us that Rosh Lakish is telling us that Halacha like Rabbi Shimon? How could that be? No. So Ravina says, El Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yehuda. No, you could say that this statement that of Rosh Lakish is that if you don't have a seh, then you can use anything that equals that value. You could say it works even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Lo Yehi Chomer Min HaHekdesh, because you can't say the Petach Hamor should be any stronger than Hekdesh. In other words, when you donate something to Hekdesh, you can buy it back from Hekdesh for its value. So therefore, for its actual value.
Hekdesh loses
value. No, no, no. If you donated something to Hektish worth $100, you can pay Hektish $100 and buy it back. So therefore, a Petah Chamor shouldn't be more Chomor than that. So you're not going to say, therefore, that a Petah Chamor, even if you're going to be, we're not going to say that the Torah insists that you use a donkey and that you use a sheep. Rather, the Torah says, so the Torah is not the set. So the Torah is not saying you have to use a sheep to be machmer on him, that's the only thing you could use. It's coming to be maker on you to say, if you want to be poder with something far less than its value, then you can do that. You can use a sheep. One that's worth even a danko, we said that he ever, or you should use one that's worth three zuzim, whatever, but if you want it to be poder for shabyo, then you can do that. And in fact, Rav Nachman or Rav Nechemia b'reid Rav Yosef parak le'bishulki b'shavyo. In fact, as we said the other day, Rav Nechemia b'reid Rav Yosef redeemed his petah chamor with cooked grasses or cooked herbs that were worth as much as the chamor was worth. So he didn't use a sheep. He used something else. So we see that it's allowed.
Cooked grasses would be as much as the chamor.
If you have enough of them, you put enough of them together. Yeah. Okay. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Gurion Ashas over here, he refers to...
Can we answer this question, Kama?
Well, so the answer is, but that's it. Well, so we answered the question, Kama, but we also said that what it is if you want to use a seh, then you can, and the seh can even, but the evid can even be worth a very small amount, a danka. L'chila should be worth at least three zuzim, and if you're generous, then four zuzim, a seller. But if you're not going to use a seh, for whatever reason, then you're allowed to use something else, but then it has to be worth at least as much as the danka. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out here in Gurion Ashas, he refers to something, to a question from the Turei Eben. The Turei Eben is the Shagat Arya. He wrote a Pirush on a number of Masechtos, one of them being Megillah. And over there, he asks the question, Hektish also. The fact is, if you buy back Hektish, if you buy something from Hektish for far less than its value than B'dievet, it works. Hektish shavah manah shechilah shavah prota. The Gemara says in a few places that if you were to buy back Hektish, even if it's worth a 100 manah, or money, whatever, 100 dinar, and you buy it for Shabbat Pilsa, but yeah, but it's okay. So then in that case, so why shouldn't the Petah Chamor be like that? And the answer is because with Hektish, that concept only works if you're being poured to somebody else's Hektish. If Reuven donates something to Hektish, and Shimon ends up buying it back from Hektish for a Pilsa, fine, then he could. But Reuven himself cannot. He himself would have to pay the full value. See, we're talking about being poured to your own Petah Chamor. Therefore, you do have a minimum value, and therefore we can't say that you can be poder for a proto. If you're going to use a sheep, fine. The Torah tells you you can use a sheep, and according to the Chachamim, there's no minimum value. But if it's not going to be a set, if it's going to be the actual value, then it needs to be the actual value, like somebody else. It can't be less than the value of the Petah Chamor itself. In that sense, it's like being poder something that you yourself don't advantage. Okay. Amr of Shizbi Amr of Huna. So in this connection, Rav Shizbi says in the name of Rav Huna, Hapoida Petah Chamor Shachaveroi. If a person is poida somebody else's Petah Chamor, so he gives a sheep on behalf of it, Pidyone Padu. Then it works. It's a valid pidyon. Tosfos points out now that wouldn't work when it comes to Truma. Because Truma, actually, you have a question whether you can take Truma from somebody else's produce without his permission. But the difference is, over there you have a posuk that implies that you need the owner's das. Here it doesn't say any such thing that you need the owner's das, that you need the owner's das. Therefore, we're saying that you don't. If somebody else does it, then fine. Okay. So the question is, Ibolu, pidyone lepoida or dyoma pidyone lebaylo? Now, suppose then Reuven has a petah chamor. Shimon goes and redeems it because Reuven, let's say, hasn't done it. So now the question is, who does the pidyon, who does the donkey belong to now?
To the owner
or to the one who was poyed it? Does it go to the poyed it? Does it go to the one who was poyed it? Or does it go to the original owner? I'll live with it. Shimon like to both. Now, according to Reb Shimon, you have no reason to ask. Given to Amal Mutabahana, Reb Shimon had said all this time, that while the Petah Chamor is alive, it's Mutabana, therefore obviously Mamon to Bailamu, so it's definitely considered the owner's Mamon. So no question about it, after Shimon redeems it, it goes back to Reuven. The question is, Kivin to Amma Mutabana, Mamon to Bailamu, Kitiboy, I'll live with Rabbi Yehuda. The question would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Do Amma Osabana.
Could he give it to a third party?
What do you mean?
Could he exchange it?
Okay, according to Reb Shimon, what do you mean? The owner of the donkey, can give it to somebody else to exchange? Yeah, bashas, I guess. According to Reb Shimon, it's completely mutabana. You could sell it, you could trade it, you could rent it, whatever. Yeah. Okay. So the question is, Kitiboy a little bit of Yehuda. The question we according to Rabbi Yehuda. Dama Osir Bahana. Rabbi Yehuda, we said all this time, we're saying that the Hamur until you poured it is Osir Bahana. So the question therefore becomes, La Hekdesh Medamile, is Rabbi Yehuda comparing the Petach Hamor to Hekdesh? And in that case, is he comparing it to Hekdesh? In which case, V'rachmona Omav Enosan HaKesef HaKamloi, in which case the Torah says that only when you give the money to Hekdesh, only then, what the Pasuk is saying, V'nosan HaKesef HaKamloi, whoever, it's not actually a Pasuk, it's a paraphrase of a Pasuk, but whatever, whoever gives the money to Hekdesh, the item belongs to him. If Reuven is makdish something, if Reuven is makdish something worth $100, and somebody else pays Hekdesh, then that person takes title to it. We're going to learn about that Hayochim, Mr. Shem. So therefore, maybe in this case, the same thing. Oy Dilma, or maybe not. Kibin Dekoni Lehu Rebeni Obeni, maybe after all that not. The owner is able to redeem it with a seh, and therefore, at that point, it'll be Mutabahana, and then he'll gain, as we've been saying all this time, he'll gain the, usually there's a difference in value between the Petach Hamor and the sheep. Usually the Petach Hamor is worth far more than the sheep. So therefore, in that case, you could argue, Loi Domi La Hekdesh. In that sense, it's not like Hekdesh, because of Hekdesh, you don't have that loophole. So what is it to be able to compare it to? Omer of Nachman, Toshma, Hagonif Petach Hamor Shachavera, Braisa says, if somebody steals a Petach Hamor from somebody else, Mishalom Tashlumei Kefal Abaylan. He has to pay Tashlumei Kefal like you do, like a person does anytime he steals. Anytime he steals, an Edom comes and testify him against him in base, he has to pay Tashlumei Kefal. And the point is, V'afa Pisha Ein Layakshav. And the Braisa says, now, why should he have to pay Tashlumei Kefal? On the face of it, right now, the owner doesn't have any rights to it. Yeshlo L'acha Mikan, but later on, he will have rights to it.
So we have long meaning
after it's redeemed. Well, that's the thing. So it's a money. Which Tana would the fear coin do? Elamer of Shimon, can you say that this Braitha goes according to Reb Shimon? Can't. Am I in my action? Why would Reb Shimon say that? Right now, he doesn't have any rights there. According to Reb Shimon, he has rights. It's Mutabana the whole time. So the Braitha can't be according to him. El of Shitta Reb Yehuda. So obviously, it must go according to Reb Yehuda. Now, if you were going to argue that Rabbi Yehuda is comparing the Petach Hamor to Hekdesh, then we know the din is the Gunav mi beis ha'ish amar achmanu v'lo mi beis ha'ish. We know that the din is that you only pay tashlumei kefal, since the Pasuk mentions that a person pays tashlumei kefal if it's stolen from the house of the man, meaning the house of the man as opposed to v'lo mi beis ha'ish, not from the house of Hekdesh. So if something is stolen from Hekdesh, there's no tashlumei kefal because there's a kafu. There's no special mekapel for Hekdesh. They point out, I don't remember who points this out as far as this and a number of other dinim where you have Hekdesh excluded, that you see also Hekdesh excluded from the dinim of Aynav, which is another reason why you can be poured as something for even a prutah, even if it's only worth a mana. So somebody points out, I don't remember who, points out on this, you see the truth of the Torah. If the Torah had been, like, you know, you have various people who claim that they're the Koyanim or whoever made up the Torah, well, if they had, they would have certainly made the dinim for Hekdesh would be more strict than for the average person. The fact that not, there's one demonstration that Torah is Min HaShemayim. Anyway,
so
if a person steals Hekdesh, he doesn't pay Tashlumei Kefal. Even if Edom come and then testify against him, he pays back the actual value of it, but not Kefal. So therefore, so that's it. Betulei Midi. So now there's nothing else to say. That's it. That obviously proves, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yehuda is not comparing it to Hekdesh. So therefore, the answer would be that if Reuven owns a Petach Hamor and Shimon is Poydeh, it goes to Reuven. And by the same logic, therefore, we say, and that's what the Braisa is saying, that if Shimon instead would steal it, then he would have to pay the Shlomo Kefal. Right now, Reuven doesn't have any rights to it, but as soon as he's Poydeh, he'll have rights to it. Okay. Mishnah said, Achas Bikra v'Achas Sholei Bikra. We said
the
so the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The animal is also banah while it's alive, with the exception, again, that we said that the Rosh mentioned, that if you're selling it to somebody and you tell them it's a Petach Hamor, and you tell them I'm deducting the value of the seh that you're going to have to be paid there with, then you're allowed to sell it to him even on
sale. How much is the redemption of it?
Okay. So we said, either you can redeem it with a seh, and the halacha is it doesn't matter how much the seh is worth, although a chachilah should be worth at least 3 dinar. And but the b'diavad, if you redeem it for a seh worth even less than that, then it's good, because halacha is not like Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. If you're not redeeming it with a seh, then you have to redeem it for its full value, with something else. Now, the Mishnah had said, achas bikra v'achas sholet bikra chula. We had a number of cases in the Mishnah where you have a suffix of a zohar and whatever, and we had, the Mishnah had mentioned that you can use any kind of sheep, whether it's a male or female, god or cotton, tom and balmum. The Mishnah had said, poda by palm and harbe. You can be poda with it many times, meaning as we said, that you give it to the kohen, and the kohen gives or sells it back to you, and you can use it for another one, et cetera, et cetera. Although actually Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says it might not even need to be that the Kohen gives it in the case of a Sofik Petra Hamur, Tosfos learns it doesn't even necessarily have to be Tosfos learned that when you're doing it for a Vade Petra Hamur, sure, you have to give it to the Kohen, you can only reuse it if the Kohen gives it back or sells it back to you. But if it's a Sofik, learns in Tosfos that you can use the same set again and again for a bunch of sages. So you have, let's say, you have a bunch of female donkeys that have all given birth, and you have a suffix between all of them, whether any of them gave birth to a zocher. You can take one seh, once you have been in time, and use it on behalf of all of them. And the seh, of course, you're going to be able to keep, because I might not have a lot. Okay, so the Mishnah had said that the sheep that you use for redeeming the Petra Hamur also goes into the pen to be counted among the other animals for Ma'aseh Behemoth. So now we're going to focus on that part. So turn it up on. Case that Omer Nichnas Ladir Leis. You have to redeem the Petra Chamor. But now we're saying you have a sheep, which normally you give to the Kohen. But in this case, in the case of the Law Mishnah, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. So we're saying that, so one second, that's what we have to figure out. Turn it up on. Case that Omer Nichnas Ladir Leis. What do we mean when we say that the sheep that was used for Pidyon Petra Chamor has to be, can be counted towards animals for Ma'aseh Behemah? Now you can't say we're talking about a case where the Yisrael gave it to the Kohen, because the din is Shari Shaninu, because we learn later on in our Masechta, in the last paragraph, when we talk about the din of Ma'aseh Behemah, Halakuach Veshenitzen Leim Matzona, if you buy an animal or you're given an animal as a present, Potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. Such an animal is Potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. You're only Chayiv in Ma'aseh Behemah for animals that were born in your possession. So if Reuven, so we're saying, in other words, that applies to anybody, right? So if Reuven has a sheep which he gives to Shimon as a present, or sells to Shimon, then Shimon is potter from Ma'aseh Behemah on it. By the same logic over here, if Reuven the Yisrael gives the sheep to Shimon the Kohen for Pidyon Petra Chamor, then it's going to be potter from Ma'aseh Behemah. And that applies whether it's still in Shimon the Kohen's possession, or whether Shimon goes and sells it or gives it back to Reuven. Either way, it's a vakuach. And it's going to be potter.
If he donates it for some value, for whatever value it is, let's say puto.
I don't know, what he donates it to what?
He donates it to someone.
Yeah, so then it's potter from Ma'aseh Behemah.
Even if
it's... Ma'aseh Behemah only applies to, you're only chayv in Ma'aseh Behemah for an animal that was born in your possession. That's what we're going to learn that in the last part. Okay. So, Ella, so what must be the case where the Mishnah over here was talking about that you take the sheep in to be counted for Ma'aseh Behemah? So the case would be like this. The Yisrael Shahoyloi Asara Sofik Petra Chamor and Maseh Beis. Suppose that you have a Yisrael who has 10 Sofik Petra Chamors. So Rashi says, for example, he had 10 female donkeys that all gave birth for the first time. Each one gave birth to twins, a male and a female. Each one, you have the same Sofik, whether the male was born first or the female was born first. So you have 10 Petra Chamors that is a Sofik. Well, therefore, So now what he has to do is, again, he has to designate 10 sheep as the suffix, because each one might be a bechur. And since we said the halachas of Rabbi Yehuda, that they're also b'hana until you poach them, so we have to get...
Even in the case of suffix.
Well, because they might be a vade, because, I mean, they might be a bechur, they might not. So therefore, it's a suffix d'oraisa, and therefore you have to be master. So you have to designate 10 sayin, but you don't give them to the kohen, because, again, I'm moitz machaber l'varaya. So therefore, Uma Asra and Behen Shaloi, he is able to keep those 10 sheep, but he takes Meister from them. So he takes those 10 sheep into the pen and picks one of them for Meister Behem, and then the 10th one that comes out is Meister Behem, and he brings it as a carbon. In other words, the point is, he designates 10 sheep for them, Uma Asra, and he takes Meister from them, Behen Shaloi, and they're his. In other words, we shouldn't think maybe that these sheep, maybe there's a possibility they belong to the Kohen, and then you're using the Kohen's sheep to pasture your other animals for Ma'aseh Behemah. No, we don't say that. Actually, Tosfos brings up the point that, according to Rabbeinu Tam, you seem to have a problem over here. Why does the Braisa have to mention a case where you have 10 Pitre Chamor? Why does the Braisa have to say that you have to designate 10 say in accordance to Rabbeinu Tam, given that we're talking about a Suffolk over here, you should only have to designate one say?
No, you have 10 seikers.
According to Rashi, you need a separate set for each suffix. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you can use the same set over and over again for the seikers, given that you don't have to give it to the kohen anyway. You use it for the first one, then you use it for the second one, then you use it for the third one, etc.
Yeah, but that's when you know.
No. That's what we're talking about. You have 10 animals out of the suffix. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, why should we be having to say that yet? Why should he be having to be designated 10 say over here? Okay, the point is, Tosfos says, fine, even if, let's say, he designated 10, the point is that you take Maisa Behemoth from them. Okay. The point is also, let's say, you have other animals.
You could do it with one,
according to the Rabbeinu Tam, yeah. But the point is also, let's say you had 9 regular animals, fine, you put the 10th one in with them, and if that 10th one happens to be nicer, then fine, it passes all the other ones. You don't say, again, that it considers the Kohen's money. Okay. Messiah led Reb Nachman. So this supports what Reb Nachman said. Because the Braisa, tell us, is supporting what Reb Nachman said. The Amr Reb Nachman, Amr Rav Avor. Yisrael Shahoyu, same din. Yisrael Shahoyu, I saw the Sophic Peter Hamar, but Yisrael has 10 Sophic Peter Hamars, Makra Shalayan, I saw the saying, he designates 10 sheep to be part of them as a Sophic, or Ma'asran, he takes Maitre from them, Ben Shalayan, and they belong to him. Same thing. The Omer of Nachman, Omer of Babur. Now, he takes Maitre out of the 10 of them, he puts the 10 of them into the pen, they walk out one by one, whichever one comes out, the 10th is the one that's Maitre.
And this one goes to the Kohen?
No. The Maisa Behemoth you don't give to the Kohen. Maisa Behemoth you bring as a korban. The Kohen gets certain parts of it, but the owner gets the rest of it. Fine. Okay. Actually, I don't think the Kohen gets any part of Maisa. No, he doesn't. I don't think. No, you just have the chayil of his burnt on the mizbeach, and he's really the whole. Yeah. Okay. Fine. The Amr of Nachman Amr Rav Bavur. Rav Nachman says another din in the name of Rav Bavur. Yisroel shahoyu v'asara pitcher chamorim v'adoyim. Suppose you have a Yisroel who has 10 definite pitcher chamorim in his household. So now there's no question. He definitely has to designate 10 sheep for them and give them to the kohen. But the twist over here is shenoflu mibeis avi'i mekohen. The twist is that these 10 pitcher chamorim he had inherited from his mother's father who was a kohen. And that Kohen, his grandfather, in turn, had inherited them from his maternal grandfather, who was a Yisrael. The reason why we need that convoluted case is because only when they were we learned before in the Perek, Kohenim and Levim are potter from Petra Hamar. So if the 10 Petra Hamarim had been born in the Kohen's possession, they'd be potter anyway. There's nothing to talk about. But on the other hand, one second. You have a Yisrael in an earlier generation. His daughter's son is a Kohen. So let's say the original Yisrael. So the original Yisrael died without any sons. So therefore his daughter inherits his property, and through her son inherits the property. So let's say when the grandfather of the Yisrael dies, his daughter is dead at that point. So therefore his grandson inherits the property, including the 10 petachamers. Now in turn the Kohen and his daughter die, and you have left now the Kohen has a grandson who's a Yisrael. So now you have these animals had the din of Petra Hamar. They are chayav in being redeemed because they originally belonged to Yisrael. And now that they're also in the hands of Yisrael, they need to be redeemed. On the other hand, since they went through the ownership of a Kohen in between, therefore he designates 10 sheep on behalf of the 10 Petra Hamars, Ma'asra and Behen Shalai. Then also he takes Ma'asra from them and they completely belong to him. Because Rashi says, it says, if the Kohen bequeathed to him not only the 10 Petach Hamoros, but also the 10 sheep. So therefore, when he redeems them with the 10 sheep, even though these are Vadai Petach Hamor, we don't say that he has to give the sheep to a Kohen because they went through a Kohen, because the Petach Hamoros went through a Kohen. And at that point, when they were in the possession of the Kohen, if he had done Pidyon Petach Hamor, he would have been potter from Pidyon Petach Hamor at that point. Therefore, when it comes into the hands of the final Yisrael, then therefore he has to do Pidyon Petach Hamor, but he's allowed to keep the sheep.
The Yisrael
is allowed to keep these sheep, even though these are Babe Petach Hamor, because it came through his grandfather who was a Kohen.
So it's considered redeeming, but there was no redemption.
So that's the thing. The same way as an Orem Mishnah, you have space, you have a suffix, whether an animal is a pet or not. He was a vada, but it's the same thing. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says it's tricha. I skipped a couple of lines. But Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Bavua. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabba Bavua, another related din, also about Kohenim bequeathing to Yisraelim. Yisrael shayula tvolim murachim b'seich beitzoi. If a Yisrael has produce, which is tevel, where the pile was smoothed out, and at that point then that's when it becomes chayiv and truma and meiser. So he has that b'seich beitzoi in his household. Shenoflim beis aviim a Kohen. Again, he inherited them from his grandfather with a Kohen. V'ose aviim a Kohen, noflim beis aviim a Yisrael. Again, the Kohen had inherited it from his own grandfather, who was a Yisrael. Ma'asram behen shaloi, then the din will be the Yisrael, the last Yisrael, has to take truma and meiser from the produce, but he's allowed to keep it. Now, as far as the truma and truma meiser, he won't be able to eat it because he being a Yisrael, but he can sell it to Kohen.
You can have enough from it.
He can sell it. He can sell it to Kohen. The point is, again, the same idea, that since you have a Kohen in the middle over here, it's considered, Rashi says, as if the Kohen had actually taken the Truma and then bequeathed it to the Yisrael. So therefore, the Yisrael now has to take it out because the fact is it hadn't been separated yet, but he's allowed to sell it to a Kohen, as opposed to if there hadn't been a Kohen in between, he would have to give it to a Kohen like you usually do with Truma and Meiser. Because had the Kohen himself separated out Truma and Meiser, he would have been entitled to keep the Truma, he would have been entitled to eat the Meiser, to eat the Truma's Meiser, so therefore the Yisrael has the same right to it. So he can't eat it, he being a Zohar, but he's allowed to sell.
The Gemara says, keep the money.
And the Gemara says, it's tricha. We need Rav Nachman to tell us both of these things. About the case of the ten Vandai Petra Hamurs and the case of the temple. To Iyashmin and Kamaisa, because if you only told us the first din about the Petach Hamurs, you would say, you know why the Yisrael was allowed to keep the sheep that he designated to redeem them? Because after all, the sheep are right there. They're physically separate from the Petach Hamurs. They're a different species. So therefore, you could say, in other words, it's considered as though they're already, you can consider as though his grandfather, the Kohen, had already separated out the sheep. Because they are already physically separate from the Petach Hamurs even then. But when it comes to the produce, you should argue maybe matonis shalayhumu kami shalayhumu damian. You could argue, which is a discussion in a number of places in Shas. Last place we had it was in Poland. Matonis shalayhumu kami shalayhumu damian. If the matonis, the truma and meiser, had not yet been taken out of the produce, we don't consider it as though they were already taken out. Therefore, in other words, we should say this produce is still complete, it's still tevel. It needs to have truma and meiser taken out. And therefore, you can't say that the Kohen bequeathed any rights to the truma, to the Yisrael. So therefore, we need the second case. The Iyashmin and Hot, the Emelo, you would think that not. Maybe the Yisrael has to actually give the truma and the truma and the truma's meiser to the Kohen rather than selling them. Iyashmin and Hocha, and on the other hand, if you only have the second case about the produce, you would say the Epshal Asura Mineo Bay. On the other hand, you could argue that with produce, fine, you can take the Truma and Meister right out of it, Dehomanach, because after all, the Truma and Meister is lying right there in the pile. You have a whole pile of grain over there, and somewhere in there is going to be the Truma and Meister.
So if you only have the second case,
you would think that's where you're saying that the Yisrael doesn't have to give them to the Kohen, you can sell them to the Kohen, because after all, they're already there inside the pile. Abelhosom, when it comes to the case of the Petach Hamurs, kibin deseme alma osi, kibin deseme alma. The fact is, you didn't necessarily inherit sheep for the pidyon from your grandfather Kohen. You have to supply the sheep yourself, so they come from elsewhere. Kibin deseme alma boya through your makrish. So since you have to bring the sheep from elsewhere, because you didn't necessarily inherit them from your animals, so therefore makrish for koi. This changes to a better lotion. Mufresh v'koyi loyamrinim. So we don't care about the fact that it's physically separate from the petra hamurs. Maybe the fact that, so therefore, because it's physically separated, because you have to bring the set from someplace else. It's not from the pile like it is before. Amalois, you would think maybe not. Maybe you can't keep the set for yourself. Maybe you do have to give them to the kohen. Come on. And therefore, we need that case also. So in both cases, the din is that the grandson, the Yisrael, is the owner of them. In the case of Petach Hamur, that means he's able to keep the sheep because the sheep has no kedusha. In the case of Truma and Meiser, fine, he's going to have to the Truma and Meiser has to be eaten by a Kohen, but even though it's right there in the pile, But nevertheless,
the second case.
In the second case, it's there in the pile, so he has to designate it. But then he's able to sell it to the Kohen, and he's the owner of it rather than having to give it to them. Okay, fine. Speaking of this din about produce that was smoothed out and it's chayiv and ma'aser, let's talk a little more about that. Amr of Shmuel bar Nos and Amr of Chanina. If a person buy, now he we were talking about where Yisrael inherited tevel that was memurach from his grandfather with a kohen. Memurach means that the pile was smoothed.
Right.
How about if he buys tevel where the pile was smoothed out, he buys tevel like that from a goy. And the din is ma'aser and behin shaloi. The din is, we're saying, so the din is, Rav Shmuel bar Nosson says, a similar kind of thing, that you would take, you have to take Truma and Meister from it, but you're allowed to, it's considered your possession. Again, you're allowed to sell them to the Kohen, and you don't have to give it to them. So we have to figure out, Demarchinu Mal. We have to ask, who did the Meruach? Ilema Demarchinu Ovid Kechavim. Do you mean that the Goy is the one who actually did the Meruach? He's the one who did Gemar Malacha and made it now ready to use. Well, then why should you have to take Truma and Meister from it? Degan cha amarachmana v'lo degan over kechavim. The pasuk says that you have to take Truma and Meister from your Dagon. Dagon means digunha, when you make it into Dagon, which is defined as smoothing out the pile, which that's the Meruach, right?
So Goy doesn't mean Ruach, but the pile belongs to a Yish.
That's a different question, but here we're talking about that you bought it from a Goy, which means it belonged to the Goy beforehand. So if you're talking about that it belonged to the Goy and he actually did the Meruach, why would he be taking Truma and Meister from it? The Pasuk says you only have to take Truma and Meister from your Dagon, not from Dagon, not from what was accomplished, not from where the Digun was accomplished by a Goy. Okay, you're mentioning about the case where Yisrael owns it and the Goy does Meruach. Tosfos talks about that on the basis of Gemara and Menachos that we had a discussion about that point. But for right now we're dealing with where it belongs to a Goy. So we have to be talking about a case where a Yisrael did the Meruach, but it was from the Rishus of a Goy, which means, specifically, So Rashi explains, specifically, we have to be talking about that the Yisrael was an Oris. The Yisrael was a sharecropper for the Goy, so therefore he's entitled to a certain percentage of the crop. And then he did the Meruach. Tosfos disagrees with that. Tosfos says that what we mean is Birshus over Kechavim, in other words, the Yisrael bought it from the Goy before Meruach had been done, and then the Yisrael did Meruach while it was still on the property of the Goy, while it was still in the Goy's barn, whatever. Okay, but the point is, Tosfos says, because you can't be talking about an Oris, Tosfos says, because if you're talking about the Goy's portion, then it's the same thing as the Goy doing Meruach, and if you're talking about the Yid's portion, then you're not buying it as Tevil. It belonged to you in the first place. So therefore, that's why Tosfos says we have to be talking about that a Yisrael did. The Yisrael, the Shus of Kechavim, means that it was still on the premises of the Goy, and the Jew bought it and then did Meruach right there on the spot.
So
okay.
If he was an Aris, it would still be Tevel, though.
Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about an Aris. So therefore, that's what we're saying. Therefore, since we're talking about a Yisrael who was an Aris for a Goy, then therefore he has to take Truma and Meister because it's obligated to Truma and Meister, but he's able to keep it for himself. That's what we're saying, according to Rashi. According to Tosfos, we're talking about the Yisrael bought the pile from a Goy. The Goy had not yet done Meruach when he sold it. Now the Yisrael did Meruach while it was still on the premises of the Goy.
And therefore, same thing.
So we're saying you have to take Meister, but it belongs to the Yisrael. Okay, so therefore, so that's the so ma'asra, and so it's like this. He has to take ma'aser because the ain kinyan lo over kachav me'ot yisrael afkia me'an ma'aser. Because this opinion, we're following the opinion that a goy owns property in Eretz Yisrael doesn't take away the chiyuv of truma and ma'aser on that property.
That's for the one who said that.
Yes, so yes.
There's another opinion.
There's another opinion that says that he does. There's another opinion that says that the ownership of the goy itself makes it falter. But here we're going according to the opinion that it's chayev. And by the way, even according to the opinion that yesh kinyan, that the goy's kinyan does take away the chiyuv of truma and meiser, there is a concept that did a bonon, you have to give truma and meiser, because it's called mishum balik kisim, We learned about this in Menachos, that you have, there were Jews who would falsely claim that their produce belongs to a goy in order to pater it from Meiser, when really it belongs to a yid. So therefore the Chachamim required that even if it was grown by a goy, it needs Truma and Meiser Drabanan, right? Okay. So in this case, again, according to Rashi, we're talking about a Jewish artist, according to Tosfos, we're talking about a Jewish buyer. So why does he have to take Meiser? Because the fact that a goy grew it in Eretz Yisrael doesn't take away the chiyuv of Meiser. The hein shaloi, so why is the Yisrael allowed to keep the truma and the Meiser for himself, or rather, in other words, he can sell it to Kohenim? The amalei, because the reason is because he can tell the Kohen, if the Kohen comes and says, wait a minute, you should be giving it to me. The Yisroel can answer him, no, because after all, where am I getting this grain from? I'm getting it from somebody. I'm coming from the koyach of somebody who you wouldn't be able to take the base then and demand the truma and maaser from, because he's a goy. He's not going to be giving truma and maaser.
What's the difference?
That's the difference. So therefore, you have the ability to tell the Kohen, very nice, being a zor, I can't eat the truma and the maaser and the truma maaser. However, since if it had been in the possession of the goy, you wouldn't have been able to get that. You wouldn't have been able to get it to force him to give you the truma and maaser. So therefore, I'm not obligated to give it to you either. No, now it's not. Now Yisrael bought it, or Yisrael is an artist. So therefore, he can say, I came from the power. In other words, we have a concept called ma mocher, called schus shetov el yadav. That when one person sells to another, he's selling all the schus that come along with it. So therefore, he's even saying that with the goy wouldn't. So I can't eat the truma and maaser myself, but I'm not obligated to give it to you for free.
And it's valid. I'll peel off.
Yeah. Okay. So let's see how this works. Let's see how this works. We have a mission. Okay. So that's that. Fine. So that's the halacha then. That's the halacha that Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman is telling us, that in this case then the Yisrael, it's like the case of the Petra Hamoros and like the case of the that the Yisrael inherited from his grandfather the Kohen, and like the case of the grain that the Yisrael inherited from his grandfather the Kohen, Truma and Maaser have to be separated out, but he can sell it to Kohenim rather than giving it to them.
One second. So with the Kohen, the rights were foregone.
No, so had it been in the Kohen's hands, the grain, then the Kohen could have kept the Truma and Maaser for himself.
Yes, of course.
Therefore, his grandson, the Yisrael, doesn't have to give it to the Kohen and he can sell it to them.
Right.
By the same logic over here, the Goy wouldn't have been giving the Truma and Maaser to the Kohen. Therefore, the Yisrael isn't obligated to give it. He can sell it rather than giving it. Right.
So he keeps, in a way, the rights of the previous owner.
Yes, pretty much. Okay, fine. More discussion on this topic. We learn in a Mishnah in the Masechet Dibai, Hamaskid Peros of Eitzel Akosi of Eitzel Amaret. If a person deposits produce for safekeeping by a Kosi, who are suspect of not giving truma and Meiser, or by an Amaret, who also are suspect of the same thing. They're also suspect of not giving Meiser. The produce still retains the same chazaka it had before as far as the din of Meiser and as far as the din of Shemitah. We don't have to be concerned that the Kusi or the Amoret swapped out your produce for his own. Therefore, if you deposited with him, for example, produce that was already Meisered, then you don't have to worry when you get it back that maybe he swapped it out with his own and therefore you should have to take Meiser from it again. On the other hand, but if you deposited for safekeeping the produce by a goy, then that produce has the din of the produce of the goy. Rashi says the Tana of this Mishnah holds, unlike what we were saying before. Before we were saying that if a goy does miruach, then the produce is potter from Meiser. The Tana of this Mishnah disagrees with that. He says that even if the goy did meruach, it will be chayav. Therefore, the goy's produce is chayav in Meiser, even though he himself did the meruach on it.
So number one, that
the goy doesn't have kinyan to take away, right. And number two, that even if the goy does the meruach on his own produce, that it will also be chayav. Yeah. So according to that then, so what does it mean that the produce is kiperosav? It means, therefore, that we, now Rashi says, furthermore, we definitely assume that the goy exchanges exchanged your produce for his. Therefore, when you get back the equivalent amount, you're going to have to assume that it's kevel, and you're going to have to take truma and bais from again. Reb Shimon Omer's mind.
Here it translates for a goy, and it's still higher, basically.
Yes. Yeah.
As opposed to what?
As opposed because the previous discussion, we were saying that you're not obligated in because the goy's meruach makes it possible. But now we're taking the other opinion. Okay. So that's the point of the Dachkama. You have to consider the produce to be like the produce of the goy, and therefore, the Rambam, by the way, has a different understanding of it. The Rambam understands that if you deposited produce that was already meister, then you don't have to worry about it because the Rambam learns that if the goy does miruach, then it's potter. He holds that the halacha is like the opinion that if the goy does miruach, it's potter, like we said before. And therefore, so if you deposit it, and the Rambam also says it's only a sophic whether we exchanged it. So it comes out there, yeah. So therefore, okay. Reb Shimon Omer Dzmai. Reb Shimon says that when you deposited produce by the goy, then it's Dzmai because it's a sophic whether he exchanged it or not. According to the Tanakhama, according to Rashi's understanding of the Tanakhama, he definitely exchanged it. Therefore, you have to consider it tevel. According to Reb Shimon, it's only Dzmai because it's a sophic whether he exchanged it. Okay. So, now, when it comes to do you have to designate Meister, everybody agrees that you have to. Even according to Reb Shimon, who says that it's Dzmai, the fact is you can't eat it because it might be tevel. So therefore, you're going to have to take Truma and Meister. Kipligi litn on the koyim. The machloikas between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon would be, do you have to give that Truma and then that Meisterishin to the koyim? And again, it's the same machloikas as before.
If you agree that it has to go...
Everybody agrees that you would have to take Mimachish, yeah, because Sophist Temple. Sophist Temple is Dzmai. And by the way, normal Dzmai you don't have to take Truma from. Because normal Dzmai, the Amoraites were always careful about taking regular Truma. They were just careless about Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni and Truma Maiser. The Goy is not going to be given Truma. Truma was never a Sophist when it comes to Dzmai. Regular Dzmai. But here we're talking about a special kind of Dzmai where it's because Reb Shimon is saying it's Dzmai because you deposited it with a goy, the goy is not going to have given Truma either. Therefore, we have to take Truma again to be on the safe side. So Kitzligi Litna on the coin. So the focus is, do you have to, when you're taking out Truma and Meister from this, do you have to give it to the coin or can you sell it to the coin? Tanakama Sava Vade Chalfinus. So the Tanakama holds that the goy definitely exchanged your produce for his. Therefore, you have to give the truma for the koyin just like any other produce. But Reb Shimon suffered Dzmai, whereas Reb Shimon holds Dzmai, and therefore it's only a sophic whether you have to give it to the koyin, therefore you can sell it to him.
Tanakama is tevel.
According to the Tanakama, it's definitely tevel. According to Reb Shimon, it's Dzmai. Yosef Reb Dimi v'kamala hashmaita. So Reb Dimi was sitting over and saying this statement of Reb Elazar that machlokas between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon in that Mishnah is strictly over the question. Do you have to give the truma to the kohen or can you sell it to him? Amale Abayas. Abayas says to Reb Dimi, so what are you telling me? The only reason why Reb Shimon would say that it's considered Dzmai is because we have a suffix whether he exchanged it or not. Implying that if we know for sure that the goy swapped it out, then you're telling me that everybody, the Chachamim and Reb Shimon, would say you have to give the truma to the Kohen. The problem with that is, didn't we just say that if you buy tevel from a goy, Rimiruach was done from a goy, then yes, you have to take meister, but you're allowed to keep the meister. So how does that fit with this Mishnah?
Well, how would you keep the meister that you just done?
Again, keep it means, in other words, that you can, the hen shaloi means that you can sell it to the koyim.
You can't eat it yourself.
You being a zor, you can sell it to the koyim.
So the question is,
we have a Mishnah which, according to Reb Elazar's understanding, is Reb Shimon is saying it's Dzmai only because we're not sure if the goy exchanged it, implying if we knew for sure he exchanged it, then you would have to give Truma and Maaser from it. You can't just sell it to the Kohen. But we just said before that if you buy tevel from a goy and you did the Miruach, then you have to take Maaser from it, but you're potter. But you don't have to give it to the Kohen. You can sell it to him. That is a fit. So Dilma can be Truma Gdela, can be Truma Smeister. So Abaya says, maybe the argument between the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon is strictly about Truma Gdela, Whereas when it comes to the first truma that you give to the Kohen, that's when the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon would argue whether you have to give it to the Kohen or whether you can sell it to him. Can the Trumas Meister, whereas the other case we're talking about Trumas Meister, that would be Rav Shmuel bar Nosson's din that you're allowed to keep it yourself. That you're allowed to sell it to the Kohen. In other words, there'd be a difference between Trumas Meister versus Meister Shani. It would be between Trum of Doyla versus Trumas Meister.
Trumas Meister, you can see Trum of Doyla, you have to give it to the Kohen.
Trum of Doyla, we would say that the Tanakhama would hold you have to give, and if Shimon says you could sell, that the Sophic, whether the Goy exchanged it for his own Goyus, and Trumas Meister, everybody would agree that you could sell it to the Kohen.
Now, Shimon says you could sell the Trumas Meister?
The Trum of Doyla, because again, according to Shimon, it's a Sophic, whether the Goy exchanged it. If the Goy didn't exchange it, then you're not taking the
Trumas Doyla in this case, when it was
that's not this case. Okay. So that's how Abaye suggests to reconcile the two things. So Rav Dimi answers is Taucha Nilsa the Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi. You've just reminded me of something that Rabbi Shurban Levi said. How do we know that if you buy tevel where miruach had been done, and you buy such tevel from a goy, how do we know it's potter in Trumas Meister? And therefore, that would be a reason for Rav Shimon and the Tanakhama to be saying that you're able to sell it. Fine, you have to take it out in the Sopik just in case, but you are allowed to sell it to the Kohen. Why is that? Because the Pasuk says, Leviim to dab over Amar Chalayim. The Pasuk says, Hashem says to Moshe, you should speak to Leviim and tell them, Kisikhu me'ez ben Israel, when you take Meister Rishon from Israel, then you have to take Trumas Meister and give it to the Kohen. So therefore, what we learn from that is Tevolim Shatel Keach from Bnei Yisrael after Ma'afreshman Trumas Meister Benosin LaKoyin. So when you get Tevil, namely Meister Rishon, that has Trumas Meister mixed in with it, and you get it from Yisrael, that is when you have after Ma'afreshman Trumas Meister Benosin LaKoyin. That is when you have to take out Trumas Meister and give it to the Koyin. You can't sell it to him. Tevolim Shatel Keach from Bnei Yisrael. What the pasuk is implying by saying Kisikol Meis Bnei Yisrael, implying that if you bought Tevil from a Goy, you don't have to take out the Trumas Meister and give it to the Kohen because it only says Bnei Yisrael.
Implying that it's not Bnei Yisrael.
So therefore, it's not Bnei Yisrael. Then you don't have to give it to the Kohen. You're able to sell it to the Kohen. So that fits with what Abaye just suggested, that there's a difference between Truma, between regular Truma and Trumas Meister in that regard. So it comes out from this Gemara that you actually have two reasons why we're saying that the Yisrael should be able to keep the Trumas Meister you should be able to sell it to the Kohen. One was be said because he's saying, I'm coming from the Koyach of somebody who anyway you wouldn't be able to get it from. And the other reason is because of this possible. So a couple of Achroinim asked, including Reb Chaim Brisk, to ask why do we need two different reasons?
Two
sources. And he says basically because you need both of them because the first one about that I'm coming from the Koyach of a Goy, fine, that explains why, as long as it's in the Goy's possession, the Kohen can't get it. But why shouldn't the Yisrael have to give it after he bought it from the Goy? So for that you need the second pasuk. For that you need the second source that if you're not getting it from Yisrael, then you don't have the chiyuv at all.
But we said previously that these points, but
yeah.
Previously we said once it transits to a Goy, you wouldn't have to. Really.
Well, that was the logic we said. That was the logic because Kassinim the Koyach Gavra. But that reason on its own wouldn't be enough. That would be kind of a Gavra reason. The Goya, the Gavra isn't responsible to give Truma Meister, but you should still argue there's still a Chesta. There's still the object itself, the produce, has not been Meistered, and why shouldn't you be obligated to give it to that coin, to the coin? So the second post explains that.
So that goes against what we were saying previously.
We're saying you need both reasons. We're saying ultimately you need both reasons because if you only had the one reason, then fine. You could argue Kastinim Kerech Gavra, but that would be reason enough maybe for the Yisrael to not have to give anything to the Kohen, but it wouldn't explain why the produce itself doesn't have that seal to have its Truma or Trumas Meister given to the Kohen rather than sold.
And that would even be the case where it translates to a Kohen instead of a Goy.
No, when it translates to a Kohen, then it's enough. Yeah, then yeah.
It's only to a Goy that the Kohen.
Right. Well, because if you're talking that you're going to a Kohen, you can't say that you don't have the right to get it from the Kohen because the Kohen himself has the right to it. Okay.
Could say the same way.
Well, yeah. Okay. So that's what we said before. If the Yisrael was able to keep Truman from a Saga, okay, fine. It is a little bit different. Okay. So So the kind brisker says actually two things. The main tour is because of the svara. The pasuk is telling you that you don't have. The pasuk is also telling you that you don't have another chiyuv to give it again. Because the other thing is whatever. That's one reason. And the other reason is again because you could say if it weren't for the pasuk, you would say look, the goy is pasuk because he's not obligated in mitzvahs, but the payers themselves need to be meistered. So therefore, what do you mean trust in the mikoyach gabra? So therefore, you need a pasuk to tell us that the payers themselves are pasuk.
And then, which has to be yours.
Okay, but that's because you have the Gemara and Menachos that has the two different opinions whether miruach over to chazan is poter or not. The other opinion uses the word degan to teach us something else. I don't remember what exactly, but yeah. So yeah, not everybody agrees that miruach over to chazan is poter.
But it could still be an argument on that.
Yeah, well, there is an argument on that. The halacha is that miruach over to chazan is poter. Fine, let's finish up. The Nesnanim, boy, we said in the Mishnah that if the sheep dies, you can have anach in it. The question is, the Mishecha, where are we talking about? The sheep died. The Lame the Mish Beit Koyin, are we talking about that you gave it to the Koyin already and then it died in the Koyin's hand? The Nana by Koyin, and then you're saying the Koyin can have anach. Shit, of course the Koyin can have anach. From the Memorial Day, it's 100% his money. El the Mish Beit Bailin, so no, what we must be talking about. So are we talking about that it died while still in the owner's house before we gave it to the Kohen? The Nana by Kohen, you're saying the Kohen is able to have an argument. Honami Pshita. It's also Poshit. Once you designate it, it belongs to the Kohen, wherever it is.
What's that? You died in the house.
Suppose that the Bailim designated the sheep for the pigeon, right, but they didn't have a chance to give it to the Kohen yet, and now it died. So you're saying maybe the Mishnah is telling us that the Kohen is able to have an argument. What's the Chiddush in that? Of course, as soon as you designate it for the pigeon, it belongs to the Kohen. The answer is Sakadana, because you would think to say Kol Kamadle Matali Yade, because you could argue that maybe as long as it didn't reach the Kohen's hand, Loizokabe, maybe he wasn't yet Zerik in it, so maybe the Kohen doesn't have rights there yet. Kamashmalan, no, that's why the Mishnah wants to tell us to me Idna de Afrashe, as soon as he designated for Pidyon Petakamur, Jerushite the Kohen Koy, at that point immediately is considered to be in the Kohen's possession, and therefore the Kohen is fully able to has full Rishus over it.
But you have to tell the Kohen?
Well, bashless. I mean, but the point is that the in other words, you designate it for the pidyon petachamur. Fine. At that point, now it belongs to the kohen, even before you actually gave it to the kohen. Therefore, if it dies, it's considered it died under the kohen's ownership. Yeah. So therefore, for your part, you accomplish what you need to. Yeah. So and then the kohen now has an available that he can do it. Yeah. So he can do whatever he wants with an available. Okay. Yeah.